Welcome to the Liver Alone Podcast, the podcast where two nerds who consume a whole lot of horror discuss their favorite pieces of horror media, from movies and TV shows to video games, novels, and everything in between, because this is a spooky world, and we're just thriving in it. I'm your host, Sarah, the survivalist in your slasher friend group that will put up a lasting fight, but inevitably die because only the final girl can survive.
And I'm your host, Ian, the fearless fighter in your slasher friend group that tries to save the day but ends up dying because physical strength just doesn't win in horror.
In today's episode, we're talking about an M. Night Shyamalan series that took us by surprise and just got stranger and stranger as the seasons went on. Servant from 2019, which I can't believe it was from 2019. That's already forever ago. To 2023. So, a brief synopsis of the show. A Philadelphia couple is in mourning after an unspeakable tragedy creates a rift in their marriage and opens the door for a mysterious force to enter their home. Do you remember the show?
Yeah. It's in Philadelphia because he likes to put all his movies in Philadelphia.
Wait, really? I don't think I've ever noticed that.
He always says something about Philadelphia. I think it's because that's where you grew up or something like that.
That's okay. Well, Ian started things off with his own bit of trivia. That's pretty cool. But now we're going to get into the trivia game.
Which is that quick?
Of course. Of course. We start the episode off with it, which is trivia creeping it real. And it's a good thing that you threw in that extra tidbit because I only have 3 questions here for you. But are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. The first one is a true or false question. True or false? This is Rupert Grint's first American role in a TV series.
False.
It's true.
For real?
Yeah. I guess Wait. Very specifically an American role.
Oh, because it's been a long time. I thought he would have been acting in something else.
Maybe he has and he just was not playing as an American.
Oh, yeah. The accent was good.
Yeah. He did really, really well in this one. Okay. Question number 2. Who does M. Night show up as in the series? As we know, he does that with all of his stuff.
Let's see, I'm trying to remember.
He shows up as like a cameo.
I'm trying to remember. Did he have a mask on?
I don't know specifically if he had a mask on. Probably not.
I can't remember. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I don't think that you were going to remember this one, but he showed up randomly as a delivery person.
Oh, shit.
And we know from the show there were a lot of delivery people because one of the main characters would constantly get deliveries for when he was cooking or
that's why,
things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last question is another true or false question. True or false? This story was stolen from a different director.
I'm going to say true.
No. Well, I'm going to say it's false because, first of all, I don't think they would be able to do the show if it was actually stolen, right? Yeah. There would have been a bunch of legal battles or something like that, but there was speculation. So, a little bit of backstory here. In January 2020, Francesca Gregorini, who's the director of The Truth About Emmanuel from 2013, remember this show is from 2019 to 2023, filed a lawsuit against M. Night Shyamalan and Tony Bascala, they're both the creators of the show, and accused them of stealing the idea for this series from her film, that same film that I mentioned. Shyamalan and Bascala both denied the charge, saying they had never seen the film, and it was just a coincidence. And I'm assuming that's obviously true, because it never escalated, it never turned into something larger, but it's kind of interesting, and now I kind of want to see this movie from 2013.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a coincidence. It happens all the time in books, all kind of media.
Yeah, but also this show was weird. It's probably something that, I mean, the base story of it is something we've heard of before, maybe.
Yeah, it's
but
like,
it was unique, too.
It's stereotypical. To me, it was kind of stereotypical. It was like, there's a person that is like close to God, and then they have powers, and then they become a babysitter. The only unique thing was the bringing back people to life into some kind of superpowers.
Yeah,
that wasn't explained.
I see what you mean. I was looking at it from a different perspective when I said that it was unique in that, like, the trauma of the trauma of losing a child would cause you to have a fixation on a doll. But I guess that's also not like unheard of.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of elements going on here, and I think the way that it was portrayed was unique, and we'll jump right into the reasons why we liked it and watched it and what have you, because that's a perfect segue. but it was unique in some ways, but it was also familiar in other ways, if that makes sense. So I can see why a lawsuit could happen, but at the same time, it was all just like speculation at the end of the day. So why did we pick this piece of content? I think the appeal to this was because it was an M. Night adaptation series, whatever we were calling it. It's a series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the appeal was that M. Night created it, right? For us.
Produced it?
I think directed. He's a creator. He's a co-creator on it.
A co-creator, yeah. And also his daughter's on it too.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is her first directorial debut.
It could be. It could be. And yeah, we're just a fan of his work. We've watched a lot of his movies in the past, and we're a fan of a good chunk of them. Perhaps not all of them, but a good chunk of them.
Yeah.
So we definitely wanted to check this out, especially because it's a series. I don't think we've ever seen an M. Night series, have we?
No. I think this is one of the first ones that he did.
Yeah, and from the trailers, it looked so well done. So let's move into the reasons why we liked it. It was a great, fantastic production, I would say.
Yeah.
Everything was done so high quality.
Like, it was high quality and it was, like, mad expensive. Because he was, like, you know what I mean? Like they went to a brownstone.
Yeah.
The house was a brownstone, so you're like, wait a second. You haven't seen that many shows with, like, a brownstone like this. And it's throughout the whole house. And it's even in the basement.
Yeah.
All the way up to the roof.
Yeah.
So they used the whole entire house. It was cool to be in that world, in that house. And it was, a lot of it was in that house.
Yeah, totally. I love the concept of the brownstone and getting to see all the different levels in there. Kind of seeing that posh lifestyle in Philadelphia. Again, the house was immaculate. It was gorgeous. And by the way, they used someone's house. Like, somebody lives there. And the interior was incredible. It looked cinematic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I like the cooking, the cooking parts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the husband was a chef, like, and it was like one of those, like, they're making fun of, like, Food Network.
Yeah.
Kind of chefs. And the way that he was cooking, like, it looked like some real ass gourmet shit.
Super, super fancy, elevated. I loved those scenes as well.
Yeah, and he had, like, all the like, weird gadgets.
Yeah.
So you're like, what the hell is he doing with this? And he was doing
sous vide,
and he was doing, he had like all the machines to like air fry and dehydration shit. So it was like, it was cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool to see that little space that he had expertise in, and they actually focused on it. Because usually when you have a character that has like a profession or whatever, sure, they have a profession, whatever. But they actually dive deep into his profession as well as the wife's profession as a journalist on a TV network, I think it was.
That was cool too, because she was a reporter. So it's like you get to see the life behind being a reporter and how it is to have like a family and a relationship and then go to work. And then some days you have to call out and he's at home and there's schedules and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the fun part. The fun part is all the shit that's going on in the house.
Yeah. But it was really cool to see the professions and kind of dive deep into that. I thought that was like a nice, unique perspective on a show that's like horror. But also jumping really quickly back to the production, we forgot to mention like one of the coolest things about the production, the doll.
Oh yeah.
The doll was incredible.
They were like, I don't know if they were doing like some kind of camera shit with you, but you would think that doll is real. It looks so real.
That doll, which is supposed to replicate a real baby, by the way. That is the most realistic doll I've ever seen in my life. And it was 100% a doll. I don't think it was any form of CGI. And they actually made it less realistic than their original doll. Did you know that?
Yeah. But also, it was like she was holding it and you were like, is that him? Is that not him? And the way that she would move, sometimes it was not him.
Yeah.
And you were like, wait, what? And you didn't realize that shit, yeah.
They fooled you so well with that one.
And it was creepy as fuck, too. Because you would see his face and be like, you would like want to run up to the TV and be like, is that shit real? Like, you want to know, yeah.
It reminds me almost the same sentiment as when we were watching Lamb, in that you're looking at it and you're so deeply disturbed by it. I was so disturbed by that doll because you're looking at it and you know it's not a real human, a child, but maybe it could be. I think it was kind of like horror all on its own, just being the doll.
And the sound production too.
Yeah.
The shrills and the like loud booms.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely added like classic suspense tactics there with the audio and the music and the production and stuff like that. And well, what, it's kind of like what you would expect from M. Night, because he's done some like classic horror as well.
I really like the story, but it fell at certain points. It fell flat because of the story with Leanne, because they didn't fully explain how she got those powers until the end of the movie, right? The end of the show, sorry.
Yeah.
And it kept like bugging me, like, why does she have these fucking powers? Why does she have these powers? And then you don't get it until the end, and it kind of is short. It was a cop out at the end. That's what I didn't like. Like, it got transferred over to Julian at the end. But you're like, why? Because they were a couple together and she touched him. So you're just like, what is this shit? It's just going to keep transferring from one person to the next.
I think that's exactly it.
And then it's like, all right. And then was it, they keep, like, you don't get to understand if it's a God thing or a devil thing, or if it's, because she, like, you remember she had, like, her good and bad side, like, using the powers, or if it's just fucking powers or demonic or what the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't fully explain all the powers. It was just like, these are the powers, she has it, and anybody else could have it.
Yeah.
And it, but you see how you see how they took over, like, as soon as she has some powers, like, the godly Christian side were like, oh, we're gonna take over these shits, it's a good thing. Because she was bringing people back to life, like, she brought back Jericho. So what if she brought back Jericho and he becomes a demon at the end? What if he gets the powers? All right, yeah. So I went into a fucking rant over there.
Anyways. I got a little confused and a little bit lost, but I think I was following where you were going. You made, like, a bunch of different points. Yes, I agree yes. with you that it was a unique... I'll say that it's a unique story in some ways. We talked about this at the start of the episode, that it's a unique story in some ways. We're essentially looking at a two-part story. The one side of the story is this part that you're talking about with Leanne, and that's the horror part. The horror part is there's something going on with Leanne, the babysitter, or the nanny, whatever she, a live-in nanny, and it's could be supernatural, it could be that she has, like, some kind of powers, it's kind of trickling over into cult, /religion, there's a lot of things kind of intertwining there, because there's something supernatural going on with Leanne. So there's just a lot going on. And I will agree with you that it starts to fall short because of that. And that's one side of this series. The other side of the series, and this is the side of the series that I like and I think is unique, is that we're kind of tackling the issue of trauma after a mother loses her child. And so that whole part of the story is that we've got a couple, they had a baby, the mother could not, was honestly grappling with the fact that she was a mother, but also a working woman, and so she couldn't balance that out, and so unfortunately, due to circumstances in that situation, the baby dies, and so that's this part of the story that I like, I think is unique, and I think is cool and interesting, and then I agree with you where it falls short on the horror side, which is the supernatural side, because there's just so much going on.
Yeah.
And you can't really keep track of it. You don't really understand what's going on. And I get your confusion because that's exactly how I feel. I feel like there were a bunch of open-ended questions and then it got tied up with the simple conclusion that Julian got whatever it is that Leanne had. Leanne passed it over to him and then continued on with her life. And so essentially the whole show loops back over. And instead of Leanne being kind of like the main character on the horror side of it, now Julian is. And it leaves off on that open-ended kind of vibe, which is very reminiscent of M. Night, right?
Yeah. He
loves to end off
the twist.
With a little twist at the end. Like, oh my gosh, this is starting all over again. So I totally get what you mean. And I kind of see why your questions leave off open-ended, because the story is
open-ended
too.
You know what else I didn't like too? Like, this is the first time you started watching a series like this where it's like, 30 minutes, 22 minutes episode. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Oh, yes, I remember.
We started, right? And I was like, all right, let's watch this episode here. Yeah. 22 minutes. I was like, it's done already?
But could you believe that we grew up with episodes that short? And now we're so used to episodes being like an hour long for shows.
Oh yeah, you're right. Like when you were kids and watching like Goosebumps and stuff, right? It was like, yeah, it was like 20 something minutes
because
with no
of
commercials.
The ads. The ads would fluff it up and it would be an hour long show, but in reality it was never an hour long. And so now we're like, what the hell? What is this crappy 20 something minute episode?
And because of that, I felt like it was rushed. Like certain parts of it was rushed. Like there was an episode where she went outside into the to do like some Halloween shit, which was cool, and she got her face painted and stuff.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And that was like really like cool and crazy. And it was like 20 minutes. I was like, what the fuck is...
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. If you're going to do a series where you know that there are no ads, make the episodes longer, especially if it's falling short in terms of explanation of the whole backstory of the show. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and then because of that, I felt like it was rushed at the end.
Yeah.
Or in certain parts, like they were just like, "Oh shit, we got 10 minutes left. Let's just fast forward this where we were watching the episode and she broke her ass or some shit, Dorothy, and all of a sudden at the end she's walking around and going upstairs.
Oh my god!
So
yes!
I'm just like, so she got healed this quick to end the show this quick.
Yeah.
And I was like,
so that's where I kind of, instead of saying that, or at least in my opinion, instead of it being like it was rushed, and it was rushed, I think that could have been resolved if they didn't have so much going on. Like, leave the story simple and then stop adding more things as the seasons go on, because you're just creating much more of a muddled mess to wrap up at the end. And if you're only going to wrap it up after 3-4 seasons, like, that, why did you do all of that in the first and second seasons?
Yeah, like they gave you a lot in the first season and then they pulled it away. Like with Julian when he was like, when he was taking drugs and shit and he got into an overdose.
Yeah.
And then the next season he stopped doing drugs altogether.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay.
It was like a flip of a switch almost.
Yeah.
And so you as the viewer are feeling that flip of a switch and you're like, I didn't have enough time to even process the fact that he got clean in the blink of an eye. It was ridiculous. Especially with Leanne's character. Leanne went through such a metamorphosis when it came to her character development. She was like an innocent little kid at first. Then she became like super empowered. Then it got toxic. And then she kind of reverted back to being a little bit of an innocent kid because she wanted that to begin with. Like she wanted her childhood back. It was very strange. And it was definitely just too much. I feel like we've segued from the likes to the dislikes, and that's totally fine. But I did want to jump really quickly back to a like that you mentioned, the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
That was such a cool episode. It was literally a block party in Philadelphia with a bunch of brownstones in the background. It was just so cool.
Yeah, kids running around and trick-or-treating, and they had, like, painting faces and all kind of playing games, like carnival shit. It was cool.
Yeah, and then on top of that, once again, we're a horror podcast. The horror going on in that Halloween episode was that there was a cult doing all sorts of crazy shit while people are having fun during this Halloween block party. That was pretty eerie. You could make a movie out of that alone.
Yeah, it was good, and it could have been longer.
Yes. Yeah. Those were some of my favorite episodes, when there was something going on and they really, really amped up the production on it to make the whole episode an event. Like, say, for example, I think there was a baby shower or something like that. That was like a whole event in the episode, and then something really eerie, disturbing was going on at the same time. I loved those kinds of episodes. Or when they had like a dinner party and a bunch of people came over, everything was so lavish, extravagant, thoroughly explained.
Cooking and shit.
And then there would be something eerie happening in the background. And I think those are some of the best episodes in this show. But like the underlying story was just like all over the place.
Yeah. You remember, like, in the basement, they had, like, the wine and the shit breaking, like, in the beginning?
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was going to continue with that. It was going good in the first season, and then it fell flat.
It had so much potential to being cooler than it was, especially with those, like, rock star type of episodes. Which I'll also say, another good thing that I liked about the show is that the acting, immaculate. Incredible actors. Some actors I've never seen before.
The
and
accents.
Now, yeah, and then Dorothy. Oh, God.
Yeah,
accents.
Dorothy was the best. Yeah,
Dorothy is now Yellowjacket.
Yeah, she knows how to act like a bitch. I mean, she knows how to act like pristine, prestige.
Very posh.
Yeah, like she did it really good.
Super sophisticated. You kind of hate her.
Yeah, and then the husband, I caught him a couple times. He's British, and I could hear the British.
I couldn't
hear it, and I was like, you didn't hear that word? Like, he would say a word. and he would hear it.
Which is so funny because you didn't hear a single thing with Rupert.
Rupert was perfect. He sounded like he sounded like he was from Philly.
Yeah, he was good.
And then remember the dad? The dad was funny with Rich Dad.
All of them.
Yeah, it was really good.
Like minor characters, they did an incredible job. I just felt like the production was all the way up there. It was really, really good. One random thing that I thought was weird, but I guess maybe this is an Apple TV thing. They really pushed the Apple products.
Yeah, of course, of course.
I don't know if that's a thing. Is that a thing on Apple TV?
I think so. But
we might have to watch another Apple TV show to prove that theory, but that was kind of weird.
And also, of course, the number one actress is Leanne. Leanne did the best.
Leanne was incredible. We've got to see more of her. I think, actually...
She's in a new movie.
Okay, that's good to know. But I also think that she was in... And I was... When I was doing the research, I found this out. She was in Game of Thrones. I had no idea. So, okay, well, she's in another big series. That's good to know. But yeah, Leanne was incredible.
She's in The Omen, I think, the new Omen movie that came out.
Oh, yes.
She's a nun. Yeah. And I was like, oh shit, Leanne got backup powers now.
I know. You just got to throw her into another religious
thing,
yeah. Type of movie. That's so funny. Another thing that I just wanted to mention when it came to dislikes, I feel like the seasons, and I want to just like throw this in there because I feel like this was a big dislike for us. The seasons, even though there were only a few of them, they started to get repetitive. Like, they almost had the same structure in each season, where it would be, like, things starting off okay, and then, you know, a relationship within the season would get really, really rocky. Shit will go down, and then it would end off as a cliffhanger. And that happened for every single season, and then it just kept looping back. So, for example, Dorothy would be super nice, and then she would be super mean. And then there would be, like, a huge cliffhanger would leave her in, like, shambles. And then she'd be super nice. And then she'd be super mean.
Yeah.
And then it would happen over and over again. And then she'll break her ass. And then she'll be good by the end of the show. So I just wanted to throw it in there that it was super repetitive. It gave me, like, Glee vibes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and then the shit with Leanne with the sexual shit.
Oh,
like, in the beginning, what's his name? Rupert was, like, looking at her. Her clothes. The husband was looking at it too. Like, why would you make the husband look at her? But the husband is happily married with his wife, and nothing else happened.
I think it was to show the character and what they would do in certain situations, like the same situations
reality?
But like different characters. Yeah. You know, because in reality, I feel like Sean was probably the most
sane one there.
Sane one, the one that you kind of wanted to stick with throughout the entire show because he was. The nicest one, he was the most humane one, so yeah, I think it was to show like the dynamics and characters, but
they had like they had a real relationship.
It was more realistic. That's all we've got. We do have a question for the audience as usual, so don't forget to go on Instagram and check out the discussion post after listening to this episode or watching it. We always put a question prompt in the discussion post, so check that out. And today's question is, what is your favorite movie, show, whatever it is, by M. Night? I'll start. My favorite is definitely The Sixth Sense. I feel like when I was a kid and I saw that movie, it was one of the few horror movies that really disturbed the shit out of me. Like, it really freaked me out, and I think I was not the same after watching that one. What about you?
Okay, so my favorite movie is The Sixth Sense, because I think that was his first breakthrough movie.
Yeah.
That shit fucked my head up with that twist at the end.
Incredible.
But
and
the
creepy.
Yeah. But the movie, and that shit was scary too because of the ghosts and
shit.
So scary,
yeah.
So I was like, oh shit, this shit is gonna be some horror shit going on. But the one that made me shit myself and I saw two times in the theater was Signs.
Oh, Signs.
That movie was,
yes.
I saw that shit two
that
times back to back in the theater. That shit was.
Yeah. That's a good one.
And then after that, he fell flat down.
Oh, my God.
No,
well,
joking. I'm joking.
He's had some misses. But I'll also give a shout out to that movie. Do you remember the name of it? The one with the grandparents?
Oh, yeah. Was it The Village?
No, not The Village.
The Village was good, too.
The Village was good, too. This is supposed to be rapid fire.
It was, shit. The Visit.
The Visit. That's a good
that
one.
That shit was made you shit yourself, too. That shit was...
Literally, at the end.
Yeah.
Good. That's a good one. That's a good one. But... our picks. For me, The Sixth Sense. For Ian, Signs. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you so much for listening to us today. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed this episode, do us a favor and share our podcast with a friend, a family member, a fellow horror lover. That just helps us get out there and allows us to continue doing more seasons. So we appreciate you and tune in next Wednesday because we're going to be talking about a horror video game Ian and I recently played together. Not really me. I mostly just watched. But it is heavily intertwined with the love of literature and Twin Peaks, Alan Wake 2.
Oh, shit.
But for now,
we'll see you in the kitchen with a knife.